I'm thankful for the love of God, ain't you? I have put my cough drop in. So we are 24 minutes and 50 seconds. Preaching after Dr. Gibbs, Brother Riggs, is intimidating. I think this is my third time to have to do it. And he's already smiled at you this morning and skint you. I mean, he just laughs at you while he's cutting you open, pouring salt in. I mean, we're all needing crutches and steel-toe boots and everything with the message he preached. And I've this morning early preacher, I was sending out some of my text, and I'm asking the Lord, what would you have me to preach tonight, or what would you have me to say? And the Lord laid this on my heart. And I've argued with God all day long. Lord, I don't think that's what I need. I'm not really comfortable preaching this message. I'm not. I don't even know the words that. But I've learned in my almost 33 years of preaching, I can either do what God tells me to do, Preacher Lewis, or have some sort of blessing, hand of God on my life, or I could pull out another hanging from the light fixtures sermon and fail and fall flat on my face. But I want you to take your Bibles. I'm going to just give you what's on my heart tonight, what's in my heart. Psalm chapter number 51. Psalm chapter number 51. This is out of ordinary for me. I usually come down there in the tennis match, back and forth. But if we're going to have a great meeting this week, if we're going to have any sense of revival, preacher, I believe we're going to have to do what verse number 10 of Psalm 51 says. You know the psalm. This is the repentance psalm. David has committed 2 Samuel chapter number 12, 2 chapter number 11. David has committed what the heading in my Bible over 2 Samuel chapter number 11 says, the great sin of David. David has went in unto Bathsheba, another man's wife. He has Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed in the heat of the battle. He thinks it's all well and good. He thinks everything is okay, but there's a prophet in chapter number 12 of 2 Samuel that comes by the name of Nathan. And Nathan starts a story with King David. And he says, there was a man that had one sheep, and there was another man that had a bunch of sheep. Now, I know I'm not quoting it exactly right, but the man with the bunch of sheep had visitors come, and he took the lamb of the man who only had one sheep, and he slew it to feed the guest. And this so irritated King David, David said, who is this man? I'm going to show justice on him. I'm the king. I'm going to prove justice on him. And Nathan, I believe, being an independent Baptist preacher, probably pointed his finger, preacher, that could reach from the pulpit all the way back to the back wall. Put his finger, I believe, right on David's nose and said, David, you're the man. It's you. And David was taken aback. I mean, I'm pretty sure he probably staggered back. What are you talking about? What's going on? And Nathan said, God knows everything you did. And he sent me by to tell you that you're either going to get right, or the judgment hand of God is going to fall on you. Let me let you know, God has a way of pointing out sin in all of our lives, from the youngest to the oldest. God has a way of putting his finger on your nose And letting you know, he told us in the Bible, be sure your sin will find you out. Sir, your wife may not know, but there's a God in heaven that knows. Ma'am, your husband may not know, but there's a God in heaven that knows. Young people, this is a lesson you'll learn all your life. Mom and daddy may not know. School teachers may not know. Grandma and grandpa may not know. Your friends may not know. But there's a God in heaven that knows everything that's going on in your life. And he has a way of bringing it to the surface. He has a way of pointing it out. He has a way of humbling us, preacher, and letting us know you're wrong. You're living in sin. There's no skeletons with God. There's no hiding out in the closet. There's no making sin disappear. There's no putting sin behind our back. No, God has a way of making sin come out. There's a judgment day coming. There is a Father that's in heaven, our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has a way of pointing things out, who has a way of disciplining us, who has a way of chastising us, who has a way, in good old North Carolina English, has a way of whipping us into subjection and into right. And we get to Psalm chapter number 51. And this is the repentance psalm. David's getting right with God. David, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, writes this psalm, writes this song. In verse number one, he's asking for mercy. Verse number two, he's asking for a washing. Verse number three, there's an acknowledgement. Verse number seven, he's asking for a purging and again, a washing. Verse number eight, he's asking God to make him. Verse number nine, he's asking God to blot out mine iniquities. God, forgive me of the sin. Forgive me of the iniquity. I know that I'm wrong. I'm admitting to you that I'm wrong. I'm admitting to myself that I'm wrong. But we get to verse number 10, and David makes this statement in verse number 10 that I believe is the key to revival. I believe this is the key for the church. Revival's not for the world out there. Revival's not for the drunk down there on the bar stool. It's not for the dope dealer down there on the corner. It's for us as the people of God. Those people need vivin'. They need to live. They need to know what life is through Jesus Christ. We need to have life brought back again to us. We need to realize that God is perfect in all his ways, and everything we do to please him, God will give us a refreshing. God will give us a renewing. God will give us a reliving, so to speak, in the church house. And we need revival. We need reviving. And I believe the key to this week is in the pew. I believe the preachers are going to have the message they need to preach. I believe Dr. Gibbs hit a home run this morning. He stepped all over all of us. I believe God has given me what I need tonight. I can promise you, Brother Joe Arthur will have what he needs to give us tomorrow night and Tuesday night. I believe I'll have the message on Wednesday night. I believe I'll have Brother Mark will have the message on Thursday night. But the key to revival, you may be holding the key that unlocks the door to revival. And I believe it starts with verse number 10 of Psalm chapter number 51. And that is, create in me a clean heart. Lord, make my black, sinful heart clean in the presence of you, the presence of myself, and in the presence of everybody else. God, I need my heart washed. I need it clean. Lord, make anew my heart, a clean heart. I heard one writer wrote this. A clean heart is a non-negotiable condition for communion with God. A clean heart is required for fellowship. A clean heart is necessary for a close relationship with God. A clean heart is a way into the throne room of God. The Bible says God will not hear our prayers if there's sin in our life. God will not hear your prayers if there's sin in your life. If we're committing unconfessed sins, if we're committing in the closet sins, I can promise you your heart is not anew. Your heart has not been washed. We need God to create in us a clean heart. We need God to wash our hearts. We need to confess everything before Him. God is willing and able to give us revival. God certainly can at just the snap of His finger or the word from His mouth. Let revival fall on the town East Baptist Church. But it's going to take us having a clean heart. It's going to take us having a receiving heart, a clean heart to know that God has worshiped with us and been with us in our midst, and He's fellowshipping with us with His presence. We need a clean heart created in us. A clean heart produces two things: effective service and complete surrender. That's what we need, a clean heart. But that's not all the verse says. It says, "Oh God, and renew a right spirit within me." Renew a right spirit within me. And this just for 17 more minutes, this is what I want to focus on. Right here in the middle of Psalm chapter number 51, there is a request, preacher, for a right spirit. A right spirit. A lot of Baptist brethren, you can see it all over social media, they're trying to play the role of the Holy Ghost. God don't need our help. God was doing fine long before we ever got here, and God will still be doing fine long after we're gone. God does not need a man. God does not need a woman. God does not need a denomination. God does not need a movement. God does not need anything, preacher, to accomplish what God wants to do. God in three persons, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. But there's a lot of Baptist preachers in our circle. There's a lot of Baptist preachers that we know. There's a lot of Baptist preachers who are keyboard cowards that do not have a right spirit. But yet, they're trying to dictate what everybody and their grandma does, thinking they're okay. Thinking just because they do it just a little bit different than we do, their church does it a little bit different than this church does it. They sing a few different songs different than this church sings, and they sing different songs than what the other church sings. They preach the same message, but with a spirit that is mean, a spirit that is aggressive. They preach with a spirit that wants to knock everybody down so they can make themselves look bigger. And the Lord says, the Bible says, renew in me a right spirit. I'm all about standards, preacher. I'm all about convictions. I'm not about preferences. I'm not about preferences. You may like Johnny Cash, Willie and Waylon. That's your preference. I might like Merle Haggard. Now, I know I just lost most of you there, but come back Wednesday night. Give me another chance. But it's your preference. A man will die, Preacher Lewis, for his convictions. A man will die over the doctrines of that Bible. A man will die for that Bible. But some of the little petty things that go on in our Baptist churches, preacher, some of the little differences that we have, some of the little non-mattering subjects in this life, it has nothing to do with the blood of Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with eternal security. It has nothing to do with the Bible we use. It has nothing to do with the doctrines of the Bible. But yet they want to make mountains out of molehills, and they want to condemn you for everything you're doing wrong that they're not doing. A preference. And I know this is probably going to wind up on some of them funny pages on the face. I don't care. I'm not trying to please nobody. I'm trying to please Him. And that's all that matters. And I promise you, if you wear black shoes, if you wear green shoes, if you wear orange shoes, if your socks are purple, if you carry around a little purple stuffed animal. Not sure whose this is, but it's sitting between two guys up here. It's your preference. This is your preference. You can have it. But a lot of Baptist preachers don't have a right spirit, and they're making little bitty molehills in the great big mountains, and they're breaking fellowship over secondary things. And if we're going to have revival, it takes everybody being in one accord. And I'm not talking about a Honda. It takes everybody being on the same page. I promise you, I don't have nobody in mind when I'm preaching this. Preacher, I don't have nobody that I have aught against. And if anybody wants to call me, you probably got my number or I probably got yours. I will take the call and I will listen, because I know, Brother Kyle, this is going to get ugly probably in a little while with some of the brethren. But if the shoe fits, because I promise you, I'm not here to try to get meetings. I love staying at home. I love my house. But we're taking things that are trivial. We're taking things that are not even important. And it's dividing the people of God. It's dividing the church of God, and they're making us want to choose sides, or trying to make us choose sides. But I tell you whose side I'm on. It's the Lord's side. Amen. Creating me a right spirit. Now here we go, preacher. This is where the rubber's gonna hit. This will probably kill the meeting. We'll probably be asked to leave in a little while. Honey, I'll throw you the keys here in a minute. Go crank the truck. Renewing me a right spirit. Number one, and I promise you, I'm preaching to me just as much as I am anybody. I don't want to have the spirit of attack. We're real quick to attack somebody who don't do it just like we do it. Real quick to attack somebody over their hair length. And I promise you, I'm just fortunate to still have hair. My forehead's done turned into a 5 head, almost a 6. I think my wife's going to have to start getting it from out my underarm pretty soon and wrapping it around. It don't matter. I'm not going to have to stand before God for what you do. And you're not going to have to stand before God for what I do. Ain't ne'er one of us going to be in the place of somebody else. Ain't ne'er one of us. Preach, I'm not even going to have to stand in front of God for what my wife does. And she's not going to have to stand in front of God for what I do. We're all going to have to give an account for what we do. Every word you say, every action, every deed, every motive, everything that goes on in your life, you're going to have to stand before God and give an account for, not me. So I say, I'm not the pastor. Brother Riggs is the pastor here. I'm not here to straighten out anybody. I'm not here to correct what songs you sing. I'm not here to correct what Bible you use. I'm not here to dictate what your clothing apparel is. I'm not here to dictate the job you have. It's not my job. It's that man's job to preach the word in the Town East Baptist Church, and it's his job as the shepherd over the flock. I'm just here to tell you what the Bible says, and the Bible says, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. I don't want to have the spirit of attack. I don't want to go around like a pit bull attacking everybody and want to attack everybody just because they don't do it exactly like I do it. Amen. I don't want the spirit of attack. I got too many problems myself. And I can promise you, I do not have enough time on my hands to worry about what you're doing. That's between you and God. If I stand up here, Brother Mike, and preach the Bible, and somebody gets convicted over something they're doing because of what I'm preaching, I've done my job. Amen. As the voice piece of God. Brother Lemoy, God's going to judge me for everything I say and everything I do. And every time I stand up and preach, I don't care if it gets the applause of men. I don't care if I get a pat on the back. You don't even have to shake my hand and tell me I did a great job. I just want God to say, you did what I have called you to do. You didn't attack nobody. You just gave them the word of God. And that's what I want to do, because I want my spirit renewed with that. I don't want the spirit of attack. I want the spirit of love. I want them to know that I love them. I may say some harsh things, but I want you to know that while I'm saying those harsh things, I love you like God loves you. I'm trying my best. Amen. I don't want to have the spirit of attack. God renewing me. And us as preachers, pastors, you know who gets the brunt of our attack? It's that lady that wears the ring that matches this one. She's the one that when somebody, as Dr. Gibbs says this morning, ticks me off, instead of just wanting to do what I want to do and go and jack slap them, there's that spirit of attack. Lord, forgive me. Brother Mike, I take it out on her. I let her have it. Because I'm mad at somebody else. Lord, renew in me a right spirit. I don't want to have the spirit of attack. Number two, and I told you I'm preaching to me just as much as I am anybody. I don't want to have, number two, a spirit of anger. I don't want to have a spirit of anger. Dr. Gibbs hit this point well on the head this morning about things that happen in our lives. We can't control our circumstances. We can't control the things that happen around us. And just because things happen to us, we can control how we react to those things, Brother Roy, that are happening to us. We can choose, as the story went this morning, to just try to love God, love people like God loves people. And in the tragedies of life, the delays of life, the bad diagnoses of life, everything that goes on, instead of getting mad about it, why not use it as an opportunity to show this world there's somebody living inside of us that wants to live inside of them. And instead of getting mad about everything that goes on, why don't we show them the love of God? I promise you, the pastor cannot minister to those people that we run off. I heard that back here. The pastor, preacher, you cannot minister to those that are not here. And if the word of God offends them, maybe they need to be offended by the word of God, but not my take. Because my take can be wrong. You do know there are ditches on both sides of the road. And you can get off in that hard right ditch where you're condemning everybody and attacking everybody and mad at everybody. You can get off on that hard right ditch. But you can also get off on the other side. There are ditches on both sides of the road. Let me say that again. There are ditches on both sides of the road. And if you get your car in either one of them, you're stuck. You're going to have to have some help to pull you out. And we need the Lord to renew our spirit tonight. Every one of us need a spirit checkup. My spirit bears witness with his spirit that I am a child of God. But preacher, my spirit seemingly don't always align with him. When those things make me angry, when those things put me in the mood to want to attack, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. You say, how can I have my spirit renewed? Here's a good place to start right here. Your Bible is a great place to start right there. On your knees is a wonderful place to start. Using the words, I'm sorry, is a great place to start. We need to ask the Lord to create in us a clean heart and renew in us a right spirit. If revival's going to happen this week, we need a clean heart and a right spirit. Amen. Lord, take away my spirit of attack. Take away my spirit of anger. Take away my spirit of aggravation. Now, there's some days, I don't know if any of y'all have seen it yet, and I stress yet. I have one nerve. There's some days that I just have one nerve. And people know how to jump right on that one nerve. And I'm going to go ahead and use country language. It aggravates the snot out of me. Life is hard enough, preacher. John Wayne said, it's real hard if you're stupid. I'm not sure where that came from. I promise, that just came out. But there's just some things that just get all over me. And when I'm aggravated, the anger comes out. And when the anger comes out, the attack is sure to follow. God's never done anything to aggravate any one of us. If you think that, you're sadly mistaken. God will pinpoint things, and it's not God who's wrong. It's us. Baptist churches seem like are the world's worst for places to aggravate. Because Baptist people are some of the meanest people I know. They are. Preach. You've been at it a long time in a Baptist church. That's all I know is being in a Baptist. That's 9 months before I was ever born. I was in a Baptist church. And that's all I know. Brother Lewis, as a pastor, you know Baptist people will aggravate the snot out of you. I made a vow. I don't even do business with some so-called Christian people. Because they will cheat and lie and steal worse than the worst of the lost man. And if you sell a Christian anything, a so-called Christian anything, it don't matter if it's 99 years old. They want a lifetime warranty. And it's supposed to last another 25 years. Don't they have aught against you? But tonight, every one of us need to ask the Lord, Lord, renew in me a right spirit. Create in me a clean heart. Am I the only one? And I know I'm not, because I've heard the heart of the preacher. I want revival to happen. I want the Lord to touch my heart. I want the Lord to renew in me that right spirit. I want the fire of God to fall. I want his presence. I want his power. My little two grandbabies, one of them just went out screaming. You heard her just a second ago. She needs Jesus. My grandson will be here tomorrow night. He was calm, cool, and collective last year, but the page has turned. And he's either going to go to prison, or he's going to be a preacher. Or he might be a preacher in prison. I don't know. But you will, honestly, if you leave anything out that's valuable, don't. Because that kid will find it, and he'll be up here like Ace Frehley somewhere smashing guitars. I mean, he'll be, he needs Jesus. But Brother Mike, for his sake, my little three-year-old Peyton over there somewhere, three-year-old granddaughter Peyton over there somewhere, Parker just went out screaming like a demon. For their sakes, I need revival. For their sakes, I need revival. For your children's sake. Most of you in here, we've been going here long enough. We know you, your children, and now your grandchildren. For their sakes. But Stephen's for the school's sake. The kids in the school, and I call them kids. That's not trying to be disrespectful. The children in the school. Revival needs to take place in the hearts and lives of the people of Town East Baptist Church. Creating me a clean heart. Renewing me a right spirit. Lord, help my spirit of anger. Help my spirit of attack. Help my spirit of aggravation. But number four, I'm going to give you this. I want y'all to come on and get something ready to sing. Lord, creating me a clean heart. Renewing me a right spirit. I need a new spirit of aggression. Aggression. This idea of self that's going on. We live in a selfie generation. It's all about me. It's all about my ministry. It's all about my church. It's all about mine. You see it all the time. We'll step on each other to get that spot. Maybe y'all got your halos on, I guess. Maybe I'm the only one. But we all want to be aggressive. It don't matter who we hurt. It don't matter what we destroy. It just doesn't matter. It's us about climbing the ladder. It's about us. It's all about us. We'll step on our grandma if it's going to help us financially. And I didn't mean nothing by that, Grandma. I promise you did. It's a dog-eat-dog world. And it's showing up in our Baptist churches. I've heard this said, Preacher Lewis, all my life. We're trying now, and it's evident. Just watch social media for about 30 minutes. Just look at social media. People are blowing out everybody else's candles just to try to make their candle shine just a little bit brighter. And we're wanting to tear this person down with our spirit of aggression. We're wanting to tear that person down. Can you believe they said this? Can you believe they did this? Can you believe they got a new truck? Can you believe she got a new dress? And I'm talking about trivial things, just things that won't matter when the Lord comes back, because the truck's going to be left, the dress is going to be left, everything that we have, it's going to be left. These things don't matter. But somehow or another, we get real jealous of the blessings of God in somebody else's life. And if God's going to do anything this week at the Town East Baptist Church, every one of us, from the pulpit to the pew, God renew in me a right spirit. These kids, Dr. Gibbs said this morning, we could take any of these. That little young lady right there, I'm not going to embarrass you, man. I'm not going to pick you up or bring you up here. But I could take her just right out in the lobby for about 10 minutes. And I could know everything that went on in your house this week. J-Bub's coming home with us in a little while. I want to know. That's why my kids don't go home with nobody. Mom and Daddy, they know your spirit. Let me say this. They know the hypocrisy. They know real. They know fake. They know the arguments that you had coming to church this morning where you're about to kill each other. And you step out of the car because the preacher's standing right there, parked right next to you. And the pastor says, "How are you doing? Good to see y'all this morning." "Oh, preach, if life was any better, we'd already be in heaven." Let me go ahead and say, admit. I'll go ahead and admit. Guilty. Guilty. Creating me a clean heart. Renewing me a right spirit. I promise you, I didn't want to preach this all day long. I promise you, I did not. But if we're going to see God do a work this week, that's what we need. You say, did it work for David? Just go ahead and read the whole life of David. And you'll see, after Psalm chapter number 51, the life of David. After 2 Samuel chapter number 12, you'll see what God used David to do. And if we want God to use us, not saying go out and commit the most abhorred sin you can commit, just so you can quote Psalm 51:10. But I'm saying to keep you from going out and committing the most abhorred sin, quote Psalm 51:10. Lord, apply that to me. I need that right now. The ball's in your court. The ball's in my court. I preach to me just as much as I have anybody in this auditorium, except for the dude carrying the purple backpack over there. But I hope that's your prayer tonight. Preacher, I hope that's collectively, all of our prayer. This song they're going to sing, I hope you mean what the very first words of the first verse says. Search me, O God. There's not a preacher coming in here this week that's going to try to correct anything you're doing. You have to correct it. You have to make it right with God. And I believe it starts with a clean heart and a right spirit. We're going to stand all over the building. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The pastor's going to come. I'm going to let him take this invitation. They're going to sing this song. I'm going to pray. They're going to start to sing. The pastor's going to be here. If you need to come, don't wait. You don't have to wait till the first words of the first song. We all need a clean heart and a right spirit. Lord, do your work as only you can do. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness of sins. God, thank you as David asked for the washing and the purging, the renewing. God, thank you for doing that in the life of David. And I pray that you do that in our lives tonight. Have your way in everything that's said and done. Get every bit of glory because you're worthy. In Christ's name, amen. Preacher, it's yours. They're going to sing. If you need to come, come right now.
Come on down. Come on down right now. Holy Spirit is leading you. You've heard the message. Now you got to apply it. What is that? What is that renewed spirit that God is talking to you about? Come on down.
Search me.
Pray to
God. try me, oh say.
If you need spiritual guidance, spiritual counsel,
no,
I'm right here. I've got counselors ready to help you. Ready to help you.
See,
come to me.
There be,
just pray until you're done.
Somewhere.
If you're unable to kneel, you can come and just stand in the altar area and feel close to the Lord.
Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Lord, take my
ever sing one more verse in a moment. A renewed spirit. You know, it starts with a realization that you have a bad spirit, which then should lead you to a repentance that you've had a bad spirit. And that repentance then should culminate in a regenerated spirit that's refreshed, renewed. The first step is realizing it. And you can realize it by asking, what is my dominant spirit? What have I dwelt on? When everybody else is rejoicing, what am I thinking? When everybody else is happy, what am I thinking? When everybody else is having a good time, what am I sitting in the church doing? Sometimes when you've not had a right spirit, when everybody else is feeling happy, feeling love, feeling joy. I think about Jonah, who sat in the back of a hill and was angry that people repented. He had a bad spirit. See, it starts with a realization, which is the hardest part. Most people with a bad spirit think everybody else is the one with the bad spirit. You have to realize it. Then you have to repent of it. And then you have to allow the Lord to renew in you a right spirit. See, there will be people come to church tonight who will go home saying, man, that's what I needed. There'll be people go home and say, man, it was too long. Sermon was too long, or it was too hard. There'll be people come to church and they'll leave and say, what a great day in the house of the Lord. There'll be people go home and say, you know, no one was friendly. No one spoke to me. No one talked to me. Preacher walked right by me. Didn't even shake my hand. That spirit. On this last verse, are you able to realize your own personal spirit? And if you do realize it, does it need renewing? Does it need a redirection? It will not happen till you realize it and repent of it. So we're going to sing one more verse. And as you're contemplating the spirit you've had in the last year, does it need some renewing? Does it need renewing? Dr. Gibbs preached this morning on the whole complaining thing. A bad spirit always complains, always gripes. It needs renewing. A bad spirit's always a sad spirit. It's always a mad spirit. But a godly spirit is a glad spirit. Do you need a renewed spirit tonight? This last verse will give you the opportunity to realize and repent. And then God can go to work on you. Then God can get something done in your life. But until you have a renewed spirit, preaching just makes you mad. Until you've had a renewed spirit, people around you happy, that just makes you angry. You got to realize it. Recognize it. Repent of it. Then something can happen in your life. Then church can have meaning. Preaching can have effect. A proud spirit is one of the things that God hates the most in the entire Bible. It's listed among the things that God literally says he hates. A proud spirit can't be preached to. A proud spirit won't bend their knee in an altar. A proud spirit, there's never been a sermon written that ever affected them. What is your spirit tonight? The proud spirit says, I wish so-and-so had been here tonight. They needed to hear this. The right spirit says, man, that was for me. I need to renew my spirit. I need to do better. Which one are you? Which one are you? We got one more verse here. Is there some realization that's going to lead to some repentance? Then you'll have revival. You'll have revival this week. But it's going to start with the spirit that you have right now. All right, we ready for this last verse? Are you guys ready for the last verse? Is there some realization going on? Think about your spirit.